the future.
There are no people.
There are no people in the future.
No people at all.
There are no people in the future.
Where did all my people go?
There are no people in the future.
Let me try my people call.
Everybody, welcome. It is Wednesday, November 3rd, 2021. Welcome to the Wednesday show. Yes, it is the Wednesday show with Cyril Mikulenko. Cyril, of course, is a progressive columnist for the Bucks County Courier Times and the Intelligencer. This show joins all of Raging Chicken's family of podcasts. Yes, because you know on Fridays, Sean Kitchen and I break down the good, the bad, and the ugly in state and national politics. And on Mondays, we got Out to Coop Live, our interview show. We've got some great shows coming up, which I'll talk about in just a second. But we are doing a special live broadcast of the Wednesday show this week. For those of you who are already tuned in on YouTube, just so you know, we're doing audio only on there. So if you're saying, hey, I'm not seeing the picture, I'm just seeing the... You're... That's intentional. We want to make sure that the quality comes through, if you will. But yes, you can get all our shows by subscribing to our podcast on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. And you can help out support this show right now by heading on over to our YouTube channel if you're not there already. Smash that subscribe button, like the stream for this show, and hit that notification bell so you'll know every time we go live, especially when we do something like right now. Surprise live. Yes, indeed. Want to make sure you also sign up for Cyril's newsletter on Substack. That is CyrilMikulenko.substack.com. That's CyrilMikulenko.substack.com. And you can help support this show by becoming a patron for as little as $5 a month. Just go to patreon.com/RCPress. Boy, if yesterday's elections tell us anything, we definitely got to double down our efforts here. And you can help support this kind of media by going on to patreon.com/RCPress and become a patron today. Also, check out our Discord server. Build a community on Discord. Head on over there too as well. Link is in today's show notes. And a special shout out goes to Jonathan Mann, who wrote our intro song, There Are No People in the Future. Check out all his great stuff on his YouTube page and follow him on Twitter at @songadayman. That's @songadayman with two N's on Twitter. Well, on today's show, we've got a couple. One we want to talk about, as usual, we want to talk about Cyril's column. But this week, it seems that Cyril's column is especially relevant to what just took place in yesterday's elections. Yes, we're going to talk about Cyril's latest column, Why Is Your Neighbor Flying That All-Black American Flag? Yep, and it is the day after Election Day. And despite amazing organizing in the community, the extremists swept the elections throughout much of Bucks County. We'll reflect a bit on Election Day and look ahead to some of the organizing that's already begun for the next fight. Like, literally, I was on some of these groups this morning. People already organizing, right? Taking a day, regroup, have your kind of thoughts, think about where you're going to go, then boom, hit the ground running. So it's great to see that happening already. So Cyril, man, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks. How about you?
I'm hanging in there. You know, it was a long night, and it was kind of a big day, Election Day, which I definitely want to get to. But before we get there, it seems that we should be talking a little bit about your column that just dropped, your latest column, because it seems to set the tone for a lot of what we saw, at least in terms of turnout in yesterday's Election Day. So your last column was called Why Is Your Neighbor Flying That All-Black American Flag? So why don't you take us into it?
Sure. You know, so what I've been doing with the column is just, you know, I've essentially been covering the right wing extremism and disinformation beat, right? It's something I wish someone else had been covering for years prior to me starting with this column. But, you know, a friend of mine sent me this article about on Salon about these black flags and black American flags, and they first popped up in Texas, right? And the meaning of these flags is that the people flying them will offer the enemy no quarter, meaning they are willing to use violence against perceived enemies. who are liberals, right? Professors, as J.D. Vance just posted a video of.
Yep.
Teachers, you know, LGBTQ community, Black Lives Matter. And so after I saw this, I thought, you know, I should find out and see if these are flying in Bucks County, right? So, you know, at first I was doing some, you know, internet research and social media and got on Reddit, and someone actually had posted something on Reddit about seeing these flags up in Perkasie and Sellersville, right? And so, you know, what I did was just kind of like reached out to the progressive community and let them know, hey, can you keep an eye out? Can you snap some photos? And lo and behold, yes, they were in fact flying there, right? Which shouldn't come as a surprise given the, you know, the radicalization of the, you know, the Bucks GOP. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's just like, it's just another, these black flags are another red flag, so to speak, with what's happening in Bucks County and across the country.
I think that's a great point. And I think that, you know, it wasn't until, you know, I first heard from you that, you know, you're telling me a little bit about getting ready to, you know, write this column, doing this research. And, you know, I said, huh, I wonder if there's any around here. Drove around, like, kind of checked out a bunch of stuff. And sure enough, right there in Perkasie, I found at least three people flying flags here and there. And then you'd see them kind of cropping up over and over again. And, you know, I think that what I said to you at the time, too, as well, is when I first learned about these black flags, it was on TikTok, right? Following some, you know, political TikTok and exist, and then people pointing out there's all these TikTok videos that were going up about people taking down the American flag, right? And putting up this black American flag saying, I will give no quarter to the enemy. And while you see, like, in the some public spaces, there's been people who've been trying to say, no, this is just saying that, you know, we're in a dangerous situation or whatever. You know, on many of those TikTok videos and some of those social media sites, well, they're a little bit more explicit about what they mean. It's like, you know, they see this as we are in a wartime footing, according to them. And, you know, what you just said about the professors, people going after professors. I got a text from a colleague of mine just yesterday saying that, yep, after election, guess what? Started getting contact by the TPUSA people and wanting to kind of make sure that they're putting them on a list to watch out after these election victories. So, you know, you see these things together and it's pretty disturbing.
No, absolutely. And you know, let's be clear, like you said, there is a record online in different social media spheres, you know, not to mention, like, you know, maybe some of the right wing ones like Gab or Telegram, where these people are saying explicitly that this is what these black flags mean. So, for example, like, there was this Wilmington, Ohio man, Justin Stoll, who was arrested for his you know, for threats and his role in the insurrection. He posted on January 4th, right, many, many months ago, a YouTube video where he was asking his followers on YouTube whether he should bring his Black American flag with him to the Capitol insurrection. And he said in the video that what it means to him, and he said it, no enemy combatants will receive aid. Basically, if you are an enemy combatant, you will be shot on sight. And then another video, he was talking about how we are at war at the Capitol. Patriots have had enough. We have taken the Capitol. So let's be clear. This is what this means. And we can't accept this, right? Like, part of the problem is with Trump is that everything, like, what used to be unacceptable is now normalized. Whether it's just like the xenophobic, the hate, the misogyny. I mean, you even have people flying flags that say, literally, you know, fuck Joe Biden and fuck you for voting for him, right? So, like, flying outside publicly, yep. And then, like, they think, like, you know, this is like a good idea for, like, you know, local kids to see on their way to school. I mean, it's trash. One, it's trashy, right? It's just like, it's so trashy and just ignorant. But two, you know, the fact that, like, people think that that's okay, just really, it says something about where we are in society right now, especially where the Republican Party is now. And, you know, to just kind of piggyback on that, There is a recent survey that came out. It was by the Nonpartisan Public Religion Research Institute, right? And so what they found was that the poll found that 3 in 10 Americans believe that, you know, the election was stolen from Trump, right? And about a third believe violence may be necessary to save the U.S. Almost a third of Republicans believe violence may be necessary to save the United States from perceived enemies, you know, like Democrats, liberals, anti-Trumpers, etc.
It's incredible.
It really is. And just like, you know, there was a former George Herbert Walker Bush official, a political scientist at Claremont McKenna College, John Pitney, he told The Hill, like, you know, the party has been so radicalized, it's now the party of blood and soil, right? And this is where we're at.
Well, I think that's right. And, you know, I think that, you know, in that article, you also talked to Amy Cooter, right, who's, you know, she's an expert on U.S. domestic militias and other right-wing patriot groups. And she's another one of these people who have basically said, look, these are the warning signs, right? I mean, you can recognize there's a pattern to how authoritarianism takes root. And, you know, and I was listening to Mehdi Hassan, his show on Sunday nights. I was listening to his podcast about it. And he's saying, he's like, look, you know, as long as we've been on this show, you know, a lot of people have criticized me for using the F word, you know, fascism. And he said, but if you look at the signs of authoritarianism and the rising authoritarianism, we're there. I mean, and his last show was like, look, we're at the book banning stage right now. Right. And so Amy Cooter seemed to kind of like be able to unpack that a little bit. And she seems to be in a good position to know.
Yeah. I mean, she's an expert on like the Patriot Group movement and other domestic militias. And she said herself, like, you know, these people are marking themselves as folks to watch for other signs of radicalization. And she also, like, you know, she's someone who embedded with militia, Michigan militias for 3 years, right? And she's been saying, like, for more than a decade that, like, you know, people need to recognize that militias should be looked at as a political barometer to learn about what mainstream conservatives are thinking. And we know we have our own militia here in Bucks County.
That's right.
The Proud American Patriot Network, which is a 3% militia cell, you know, until it wasn't after they were exposed as it, right? Like suddenly they had a change of heart. We're no longer a 3% militia. But they, you know, their leader, TJ Kosin, and posted a video on TikTok doing this same exact thing. And what we know is that people like Kosin, right, is, you know, he's working with, right, and mingling with part of the broader Bucks GOP community, which spills into the Reopen Bucks movement, right, which spills into these Republican candidate, these far right Republican candidates that ran and a lot of who won in Central Bucks and throughout Bucks County. So she, you know, she's absolutely spot on with that.
Yeah, so I want to read these just these two paragraphs from your piece too, because I think they lay this out right really well. And I, you know, if people haven't read his piece yet, you head on over there. There's a link in today's show notes. Make sure you read this piece. So, and he starts with, you know, it's just quoting from Amy Cooter. It says, "I don't know that there's just one right answer for why people move to violence," explained Cooter. "It does appear that most of the folks who eventually engage in violence reach a point that they believe some aspect of society and or the government is close to being a lost cause, and that for whatever reason, it is up for them to try to fight that eventuality. The apocalyptic talk used by far-right locally underscores this looming potential threat. And here's the litany, or here's the list. At a North Penn school district school board meeting this month, a local parent denounced medical tyranny. A Reopen Bucks member recently told the Central Bucks school board that masking is a satanic ritual. I've already written about the Civil War talk by Trump supporters. And finally, Rick Saccone, Republican candidate for Pennsylvania Lieutenant Governor, told a crowd this month that at the Rod of Iron Freedom Festival, that's an entirely other absolutely insane essay. But and Greeley, PA, quote, there are dark forces out there trying to destroy our republic. And frankly, we have a nation to save. I mean, there you have it. I mean, this is what they're saying openly. This is not what you even need to dig into the dark recesses of the quote unquote dark web to find. But this is what is happening in our public spaces right now.
No, and it's something that's kind of being hammered, you know, that drum's being beat on over and over and over again, not just within like these, you know, local networks and, you know, far right groups like the Proud American Patriot Network and, you know, the extremist Reopen Box movement. But, you know, they're just kind of like mimicking the language that or regurgitating the language that they're hearing on Fox News, right? Whether it's like in Tucker Carlson, you know, who's spouting like, you know, white supremacist replacement theory, or now he even has this new documentary trying to rewrite history about January 6th. It's right. Already happening, right? Saying that this is like a government attack on quote unquote real Americans and patriots, right? And that they're the victims of this kind of conspiracy between, you know, the deep state and Antifa, right? Which is just like, but people believe this. I mean, there's like Diane Herring, who was named to the DEI committee in Penridge. She was on Twitter saying that the people invading the Capitol were Antifa, right? So this is like, you know, what they're just kind of like following the orders from, you know, the media empire that's really responsible for kind of like, you know, spreading this mis and disinformation, you know, which is something I wrote about in a previous column, and how that's kind of created, you know, two different realities for Republicans and Democrats, two different, you know, sets of facts. And, you know, if you look at like some of the, you know, like some of the messages I received from like, you know, my quote unquote critics, I mean, you have this one guy on the Courier Times saying, "You were so worried about white people, yet it is violent black people killing other violent black people with innocents and children as collateral damage. You blame one group," meaning whites and conservatives, "for everything, even though we contribute most to society." You know, another someone else told me that, you know, "I am part of the dark forces trying to destroy our republic," and so on and so on. So, you know, that's the base. I mean, that's the GOP base that like reads the local paper. And these are the people that, you know, have been elected,
right,
you know, into our school boards, into like commissioners. You know, this mentality was, you know, what happened in the election is just kind of like, it's a testament to the growing and mainstreaming of extremism and radicalization within the Bucks GOP electorate.
I very well put. And I think that, look, I mean, we saw, I mean, not to pivot too quickly here, but I, like you said, and what we said right from the get-go, even we were talking about this before the show, I mean, these are kind of intimately related. What you were just writing about in terms of these black flags and the extremism beat that you basically have, you know, have been thrust into in many ways, in terms of covering this stuff. And so we had, you know, Election Day was yesterday, and we have, like, at the minimum two, like, self-proclaimed Q adherents who were elected both the Palisades School District and in the Penridge School District last night. And, you know, I have to say, first, I want to give a shout out to the organizing that kind of went on to basically make this a competitive race. I mean, I saw the organizing that was happening on social media, but more importantly, what was happening in the streets. I mean, you know, you want to talk about what the way that people use these online spaces to organize. I mean, this is a perfect example of this. It wasn't just people spouting off about kind of like some random kind of ideas. It was them trying to think about, okay, who can be here when, and how do we get there, and what's going to be the next step? And the organizing was absolutely amazing. And so, I mean, kudos goes out to everybody. And I just do hope that those folks who have put in all this effort, who were there from day one, were kind of on the ground and doing the organizing, Don't feel this as a just 100% defeat, right? And I know the feeling, but it is not. It just shows you kind of what exactly we're up against. As Cyril said, when you're talking about the mainstream of the Republican Party, of the mainstream, not the you're not picking from the QAnon people, but the mainstream Republican Party, a third of which are basically saying we may need to have violence in order to like save the Republic. When you were in that mode, and I should say too as well, we see what happened, and we should have no bones about the fact that let me see if I can find this real quick. I'm sorry. Yes, Pat Poprick, the chair of the Bucks County Republican Committee, she said about last night's election that the turnout of both voters at the polls and local volunteers showed a revitalized party brought together by national issues. And this is her quote. One of the main reasons people are so upset is what's happening in Washington. The price of gas is skyrocketing. The shelves are empty. Illegal immigrants are coming across our border. That motivated a lot of people. And then the school board races. I could tell you so many people are concerned about what's happening in our schools, the books the kids are reading, the curriculum. They're very upset. And that brought out hundreds of extra new volunteers. So I'm saying that and wanted to quote that here because they are 100% aware of where this base is, and they're channeling it and recognizing all this fabrication around CRT, all this kind of racist nonsense that's been going on in our school boards, the anti-masking stuff, all that kind of extremism, and then pairing up with the militias, right, in order to kind of get their message out and help bolster their numbers and help kind of like harass candidates, you know, who didn't agree with them. They're aware that this is what's going on. So yes, we have our work cut out for us going forward, you know, but the organizing was absolutely incredible. So Cyril, we're looking at this, we're looking at the results of these elections, I'm a realist about this stuff. I thought that the organizing was incredible, that it was actually gave us a shot. But I also know that, look, this whole idea that this anti-Trumpism is somehow going to kind of help, it's just nonsense. And we saw that in Virginia. We saw that in New Jersey even. And we saw this right here in Bucks County, where we see these people haven't gone away. As a matter of fact, they're doubling down on their conspiracy theories and the extremism. And that's actually driving more people to the polls. And so where do we go from there is kind of a question I think we're going to be asking for a while now. But I'm just curious, you know, as you were looking at the, you know, results coming in, you're looking at the results, what's your take on where we're at now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, and like what you read with Poprick, what the Republican Party used was the trifecta of like fear, anger, and grievance to kind of like whip up the base into a frenzy, right? And they've been doing that, you know, for over a year now, or even maybe a little less, but like, you know, they've been beating the CRT drum, the anti-critical race theory hysteria. Like, you know, they recognize that as a message, right, that resonated with its base. And it's a racist message.
Exactly.
Because,
exactly.
I mean, one that's not even true, because one, we don't teach critical race theory to like K through 12. And two, they're conflating that with teaching any kind of like history that critically and truthfully shows kind of the sins of the past, right? But, you know, never mind how we've overcome them. But, you know, that's part of the thing is I think, you know, I've said this before, I think that, you know, Republicans are just uneasy and really diametrically opposed to progress. And, you know, going back to that that survey, that poll that I cited, the from the Public Religion Research Institute, you know, they showed that just 29% of Republicans say life has changed mostly for the better since the 1950s, right? Mm-hmm. So this is like before civil rights, before like more, you know, women's rights, protections for people of color, and then, you know, the LGBTQ community. So, you know, I think that speaks volumes. And then, you know, just kind of like going back to the local with like what happened, you know, last night, you know, like you, like, you know, I didn't have any kind of like delusions of grandeur of what was going to happen. You know, I thought we had some incredible people running some incredible campaigns. I thought the chips were stacked against them, the way some of these, you know, school districts and the demographics kind of like played out within them. But what I did think, or what maybe what I hoped for, was that, you know, we would pick up a few seats, which we did, and then like the few more seats that we potentially would have picked up would have been a rejection of the most extreme QAnon following bigoted candidates like Ricky Chaykin, Cora Landis, you know, Deborah Cannon, a fundamentalist Christian who, you know, campaigned against evil and demonic adults. You know, but somehow, you know, the Republican Party, they support these candidates, right?
Right.
And so what this actually did was kind of like prove the thesis that I've been kind of, you know, bringing forth in my columns, is that the Bucks GOP, it doesn't have a problem with a wing of the party that's extremist. Its base is an extremist, right? And the fact that, you know, someone being just an out and out bigot, right, who wants, you know, scriptures posted in school like Ricky Chaykin, like opposing LGBTQ, you know, people like Deborah Cannon and Cora Landis, who's just like, you know, probably the most out there with, you know, her falling down that Q rabbit hole.
Right.
The fact that these people won, and they won, you know, pretty kind of heavily, I think it speaks volumes about the radicalization that the that has gone on over the years, and you know, unfortunately, like before my column, it's often gone unchecked. And this is what we're dealing with now. So where do we move? How do we move forward is just like, you know, like you were saying, like, don't mourn, organize. And we need more organizing, and we need like movement organizing that kind of like goes beyond the Democratic Party and its limitations. Obviously, we want to work towards elections, right? But maybe like have an outside inside strategy where we're pushing the party in the directions that we think it needs to go, right? In terms of messaging, in terms of policy, in terms of both strategy and tactics. Because one thing you can kind of like, we can lay this defeat here at the feet of the Democratic Party, both locally and nationally. And like you said, anti-Trumpism is not enough. Yes, he's repulsive. Yes, he's deplorable. Yes, he's anti-democratic. But you need to have a vision, right, of what it is that you're actually fighting for, and be able to communicate that in a way that reaches people.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that, you know, and I don't want to get into like, well, there's two things that we're not going to solve today on this show, right? Number one, we're not going to solve what is the strategy going forward. Like, oops, as I hold up my, I just realized I just cut my finger. I'm sorry, everybody. One is the, what is the strategy? What is the proposal going forward? I think that's something we're going to have to do collectively. And number two, there's going to be a lot of kind of finger pointing and blaming that's going on. That's going to go on. That's going to be, let's say, it's going to be more about affect than it is about serious strategy. At some point, we're going to have to do kind of what you were pointing to here, is to say, well, look, we got to recognize that the strategy that we've been moving forward right now is just not working. Right. And I do think I agree with you. I think a lot of it has to lay at the hands of how the Democratic Party and how the both say locally within the county and statewide and nationally has positioned itself as way of understanding as way you do politics. Right. The way I put it to this, I mean, this was a little bit snarky for me responding to somebody on Twitter today when they were like, you know, look, you got to understand, activists are great, but, you know, this is chess, not checkers, right? And I said, my response was, yeah, but you know what? You got to understand, I think the Dems are going to need to understand that this is, you know, boxing, not brunch, right? You know, I mean, And there was an interesting thing that played out last night, that, and I'm going to actually have a video clip of this in a separate segment that's outside here, because I thought it was very fascinating to kind of to see the dynamic that we're in right now. So last night on election night coverage on MSNBC, you had Rachel Maddow, you had Joy Reid, and you had Nicole Wallace, right? And Nicole Wallace basically says, you know, and she was a Republican operative with George W. Bush, right? I mean, she's, you know, and but she's sharp, right? And one of the things that she said was like, look, at the end of the day, like, you know, the Democrats are going to have to figure out if they're going to fight, right? Because what did not come across with people was like that there was somebody that was fighting on this stuff. Nobody was fighting about voting rights. Nobody was fighting against doing anti-racism, right, as part of their fundamental campaign. They weren't talking about the extremism, right, in the ways. And she was talking specifically about Terry McAuliffe and things like this, but it goes further than this, right? And then, interestingly, and she's like, you know, people are going to have to fight. And then Rachel Maddow jumps in and she's like, yes, but the way that you deal with people with falsehoods is that you don't kind of create your own falsehoods. You have, here's policy, and you make an argument about policy, and you accomplish things, you run on that. And then Joy Reid comes in and says, like, I find myself like in the camp in this thing with like Joy Reid, who I generally do not get along with her analysis, right? And Nicole Wallace. And then you see, like, you know, Rachel Maddow representing this kind of mainstream of the Democratic Party. But Joy Reid's like, no, look. You have black folks who feel like nobody is in their corner while they're being assaulted, right, in their communities. And so the Democratic Party is going to have to fight. And I think that's really what we've got on the plate right now, looking forward, is to say this whole idea that we can just be nice and get along and try to rise above the fray, that whole, you know, this mythos of Michelle Obama's kind of when they punch down, you know, when they go low, we go high. You know, we got to be in the point where we're going to say, no, when they go low, kick them. You know what I mean? It's like we got to stop this because, you know, fascists do not respond well to like dinner invitations. And I think that, you know, like and I think that this election, particularly at the school board races, was a glaring example of that. What, again, the candidates are one thing, kind of like you said, is the inside outside strategy. But we as a movement need to build our power to hit back and do this research. Now I got to say, your column and a bunch of the work that's been happening in the community about uncovering the dark money that has been involved behind this stuff, about looking at the militia groups and looking at the kind of the racist attacks that are happening in our community, that started to happen. And I think that we can build on that now. Right, we can build on that kind of momentum going forward, which is exactly what we intend to do. And I'm sorry for the little kind of, you know, monologue here, but it's got me charged this morning thinking about we've got to be really clear-eyed about what we're up against now, right? And to watching some of the best campaigns that I've seen run go down to QAnon supporters, conspiracy theorists, and freaking racists. That tells us that we need a different strategy.
No, absolutely. Yeah, like you said, like they go low, yeah, we punch down, but we're hitting them with the truth, right? But we're being clear and unapologetic about it, right? Because if someone says something that's racist, you got to call it racist, right? If it, you know, looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And you know, people have their work cut out for them. You know, especially in like Penridge. I mean, my God, the damage that's going to be done to that school district over the next few years, now that, you know, Joan Collin has just kind of like solidified her like little junta and made it even more radicalized, right? They're going to feel emboldened. And one thing that you can point to is the fact that, you know, the far right showed up every yes. single school board meeting, and they were on message, even if like they had like one person like David Bedillion or whoever like writing the messages for them, so they didn't sound like complete lunatics. They were there and they were doing it, right? And you know, unfortunately, we didn't have the same turnout, we didn't have the same focus, nor did we have the same messaging. And now what's going to happen is that there's going to be a complete assault on, you know, the education system, you know, in that school district. They're going to whitewash history. They're going to whitewash curriculum.
Yep.
And one thing I've been wondering about is, like, when do teachers start, like, speaking out? Because, you know, I understand, like, it's, you know, they're worried about their livelihood, you know, especially with this, like, kind of, like, you know, pitchfork and torch mob mentality that the right has in Penridge. You know, God forbid you, like, you know, recite a Langston Hughes poem in the English class. But, yeah, you know, when does that start happening? When do the teachers feel like, you know, they need to kind of, like, come together and speak out, you know, to save the system and the educational system that they've dedicated, you know, their lives to, in order to kind of, you know, in order to, you know, teach children the right way about the right things, and not kind of be morphed into this kind of, like, you know, arch conservative nationalist indoctrination system.
Look, and I know there's some people that get mad at me for saying this, but I'm going to say this anyways, and this is my call out, because, like, just what you said, for teachers to be speaking up, like, individually sticking their neck out, they are going to be, right, front and center in the firing line, right? And they put themselves, and I understand exactly why, and I've seen the climate. Right. I know what that looks like. However, our teachers are unionized with PSEA, and the purpose of a union is to act collectively. The purpose of a union is to be out in front and protect education, the quality of education, protect the teachers' working conditions and the students' learning conditions. And right now, look, we're going to talk about this next week, too, as well. We got Kirsten Zolfel is going to be on Out to Coop Live. She's going to be talking about a Monday night. We're going to be seeing what about Brian Fitzpatrick and looking ahead to 2022. And PSEA has got to get off the sidelines on this and has to take a center role. They have to be out in front in here. And I would encourage, look, as someone who's been has been a union activist in my own union, right? Sometimes you've got to kind of go against your own union to get them to do the right thing. Because if individual teachers are going to try to do it on their own, they're going to, the hammer is going to come down from the community on them. And there's no reason that we should leave teachers out to dry like that. But the union's purpose is to make sure that those teachers are kind of, are, and look, there is no one left on the sidelines anymore, folks. It's like PSEA needs to get in the game, and no more of this kind of, like, whoa, we've got to play nice with the kind of Republican. We got to represent everybody. You got to take a stand now. And I'm sorry, if this is a moment in which unions need to step forward, especially education unions, right? So in Bucks County, right, I think that's it. And so look, I think that this is where teachers need to organize within the union to kind of push back and demand that their union do more to protect them. Because their jobs are now going to be put, like, in the firing line right now, because of what is happening in these school boards. So let's be clear about that. And I will be happy to work with any teacher that's out there. And I would love to, you know, ragingchickenpress@gmail.com. You want to talk about establishing a caucus within a union to be able to kind of push back on the union and organize across school districts, because that's the other thing that we've got to do now too as well. This is a countywide assault on our public education, and there needs to be a countywide response to this. And it's got to happen with organized support. And look, who are the organized support? It's a Democratic Party who needs to get off their freaking asses right now, too, as well, and get in the game. And with the teachers' unions right here and anyone that supports kind of, like, the quality of life in this county, right, and is going to protect our kids, because this is no good. And my kids are in the school district, so I got freaking skin in the game here too as well, right? You know, I mean, not only am I finding my, like, education being assaulted, right? And I, you know, and that, but I'm seeing what's happening to the kids, and I'm seeing how it's reflected in how they talk to each other as they're waiting for the freaking bus. This has got to stop. Right. And so I think we need to get in the game, and we need to figure out how we have this, again, as Cyril said, this is the outside part of the strategy. How do we put pressure on the teachers' unions? How do we put pressure upon the Democratic Party in Bucks County? How do we kind of organize ourselves and build up the amazing organizing that's already happened? And then here, Raging Chicken, how do we help? Where do we fit in with this, right? I mentioned this on, and I'm sorry to kind of go off again here too as well, but I'm really freaking pissed. And you know, one of the things I've been sending out to folks, particularly that are patrons and are also on our Discord, is that we want to start looking for ways that we can begin kind of organizing, at least the kind of the media wing of this within Raging Chicken. So folks want to kind of, like, build off this, let's do it. Right. I know these conversations are already happening among those parents and those community members who have been organizing around this stuff, and they're doing this too as well. I think it's time for a Bucks County-wide organization, Bucks County-wide movement, right, where we are going to push back against this and say no more. Because, I mean, we're all got to be on the sidelines. We all cannot be on the sidelines anymore. I'm sorry. And diatribe.
Yeah, you know, like you said, it's countywide. Like, you know, obviously, like, Penridge is just, like, the glaring example. But, you know, Council Rock, Central Bucks, right, Ben Salem, there's an attack on education. And really, there's an attack on, you know, students of color and LGBTQ students as well, where, you know, given the rhetoric and the beliefs of a lot of these school board candidates who are elected, you know, they're not going to have a kind of the same type of not just tolerance, but acceptance, right? Which is what we really want. You know, go beyond tolerance to acceptance within their communities, because, you know, a lot of the rhetoric that's coming out. But we need, like, you know, both short term and kind of like long term strategies. And like one of the long term strategies should be, you know, just kind of like creating like a, you know, movement culture here in Bucks County. And one of the ways that you do that is, like, we do need our own media. Right. Like, the movement needs its own media, because, you know, I have to say, like, you know, the Courier Times and the Intelligencer really dropped the ball in their coverage. Like, they did, you know, nothing about any of these school board races. They did not report about the extremism that was coming out of the mouths of these Republican candidates. And that's their job. Right. You know, and I'm not just kind of like throwing everyone under the bus. Like, they do some good stuff, and I'm sure they're just like understaffed, overworked, etc. But it just speaks to why we need our own media, right? And then why we need media activism.
Exactly.
To push the mainstream media as well. And it's something, you know, we've kind of brought up in the past before, you know, setting up, like, you know, rapid response teams for about these school board meetings, kind of doing fact checking based on what the, you know, the school board members or the community is saying. And it really, like, it doesn't take a lot of time, but we just need, like, you know, people to kind of commit to it. And it could be like a revolving door. But, you know, it took me like 10 seconds to kind of like fact check the woman who was, like, you know, citing the 1866 Supreme Court, you know, decision that, you know, supposedly outlawed, you know, social distancing, even though it's not true, right? So, like, you can do that, and then you know you're helping the reporters, then you send that out with, like, a press release, press announcement, have a few quotes from the local group, etc. And then, you know, that's one way to kind of, like, ensure that, you know, what's happening in the community is getting a broader view by the broadest swath of the community as possible. I have my column, you know, I can only do so much. That's only twice a month, you know, and then you're going to have, you know, unfortunately, maybe there's a small amount of people that are just going to dismiss it just because it's coming from me, even though, like, everything's right. Sourced. Like, attributed. So, you know, we need the mainstream reporting, but, you know, like, we need people to get involved with the Raging Chicken media. You know, we need to kind of, like, reach out. We talked about this before with some of the different podcasts. There's, you know, this other, like, kind of like fledgling media outlet, Bucks County Rising. We need to come together and kind of, like, pool our resources, because, like, media is a really, like, effective tool when trying to kind of create social change and create and kind of, like, alter the way people are thinking about a lot of these issues that are being used as, like, wedge issues or, like, culture war issues within broader Bucks County.
Yeah, and, you know, and, like, and again, I know we're kind of far afield from where we started here, like, but I think that this is right on point. So let me give an example, a couple things about kind of what I mean is, like, you know, there's this other Substack that just kind of popped up, at least for me. I just came across it. It's called None of This Is Normal.substack.com, right, who've been digging into a bunch of the dark money stuff too as well. And I look at this stuff, I'm like, this is freaking awesome stuff. This is absolutely awesome stuff, right? And I think, so I, you know, and that's just an example, right, that is kind of building on same kind of stuff that we saw with Jordan Hopkins's work, and he's been on the show here too as well, with your work that's in there. We find a way of kind of amplifying this. And I could tell you this on Raging Chicken, one of the ways that we kind of had did this kind of originally when we were primarily a space for writing only, we would aggregate a bunch of stuff, right? As to why to build that kind of connections. But then somebody, the people had a central location to go to. So everyone still got to do their projects, right? But we got a way of bringing that in. That's kind of one of the things that I'm looking for about going forward is how do we build this stuff in? Because I understand the, you know, there's a hesitation on the part of folks who are have busy lives. I'm one of them. Want to kind of give up the autonomy and kind of like, you know, and or, you know, do that. You don't have to, right? We can just aggregate stuff in such a way that everyone's got a place to go. The second reason to go to reemphasize what Cyril was just talking about having this rapid response stuff. I was talking to Sean Kitchen this morning and kind of about the election results. And, you know, we're talking about this, you know, Paul Martino, right? The guy who sank like over $600,000 into school board races for the Keeping Kids in School Pact and some other dark money groups. Right. And WHYY posted an article about him, a really good article, right? Did a great story on him on Monday, November 1st, the day before the elections, right? Now, again, I purposely did not go after that, right, online because it was a freaking awesome thing, and I'm not going to go after the reporters for doing a great job. But that's what I put on, that's what we need to be thinking about as a movement and where the Democrats failed. Right. Because you know what? If they were shouting about this, they were calling up the editor and say, how are you not exposing this stuff about this Paul Martino guy? We were talking about Paul Martino. PA Spotlight was talking about Paul Martino over the summer. Right. We were talking about what was happening with the keeping kids in school packs. Matter of fact, some of Cyril's first columns was tracking some of that stuff. Right. But we're individuals, right, kind of out here to have organized efforts to put pressure upon these media organizations to kind of get them to cover these kind of issues, to expose what the hell is going on. That's what we can do collectively and together. Right. So look ahead for, you know, I'm going to be reaching out to those folks who've been reaching out to me again. Right. We said that after the election, we're going to start piecing together some of the stuff and we're going to do that. Right. In addition to any ways that we can help out the organizing that's already on the ground now. So. Anyways, you know, it's funny, Cyril, I tell you last night and this morning, I said to myself, I said, huh, okay, I'm not as kind of like worked up about this today because I think I had a good sense of kind of, I had suspected where things were going to go based upon everything that you've been talking about, we've been talking about. And yet here I am like livid. Where is it?
Oh well, my God. So everyone just needs to channel that energy into what we were talking about. And just, you know, we got to be in it for the long haul.
Indeed, in it for the long haul. That's exactly what it was. Miles Horton from the Highlander Research Center said exactly this about the long haul. My dissertation was actually called, Resistance for the Long Haul, basically, right? For exactly nice. This. Yep, exactly.
Well-known fact is that Rosa Parks actually trained there. Before
yep.
her,
yep.
you know, sitting
there. Exactly.
Something whitewashed from history.
Exactly.
Politicizing what happened, but yeah.
Yeah, one of the two times that the Highlander Center was actually burnt down, and yet they rebuilt, right? MLK also trained there, too, as well. SNCC, SLC, trained there, right? Tennessee, folks. Anyways, we got to do another show just on that. That'd be freaking awesome. Exactly. Talk about it. Well, So let's talk a little bit about kind of what you're kind of working on now, what you're looking ahead for. I assume that it's just going to be kind of like, you know, peacocks and roses, you know, that you're going to be writing about here.
Yeah, I got a couple ideas that I'm working on. One is just going to be about climate activism, given with the COP26 happening. So I'll be interviewing someone from Equate, which is Earthquaker Action Team, about a campaign that they're engaged in targeting Vanguard and all the money that they're sinking into like fossil fuels. You know, there was also like an interesting report that came out last month, you know, from the Sentencing Project that, you know, essentially showed systemic racism within the criminal justice system, right? How, you know, Blacks and Latinos are being disproportionately imprisoned compared to whites. And I have some other ideas, and maybe, you know, maybe this is where I start publishing, you know, some of these things with the Raging Chicken website as well, to kind of like get that going, because, you know, I have more ideas than, you know, column space at the
right.
at the Courier. So that's what I'll be kind of like digging into over the next few weeks.
Well, there we have it. So everybody, look, and thank you for tuning in. And thank you to Emily, Sean, Amy, Chuck, Ryan. Who am I missing? I think that somebody who are blowing up the chat today. Thank you so much for kind of tuning in and listening. And right, you guys are all, and W. Jones just kicking in. Here you all go. It's so great to see folks kind of jumping in and taking part in the conversation today. I want to remind you on this coming Monday, that is November 8th, I think, right? Yeah, November 8th, we've got Kirsten Zolfo coming back on the show. She's from Bucks County Indivisible and Pennsylvania Indivisible. We're going to be talking about the race gearing up now to looking ahead to Brian Fitzpatrick and what he's been up to or has been kind of, you know, doing his Janice Two-Face thing about. Talk about what's happening, maybe get her some reflections on what's happening in the election. And then on 2 weeks from Monday, or a week from this Monday, so on the 15th, we'll have Laura Putnam on. Laura Putnam is a professor of history at University of Pittsburgh. And she kind of basically studies, the Pittsburgh area and everything, looking at what happened to the break between the Democratic Party and kind of the working class in Pittsburgh, and then why we're seeing now this kind of resurgence of left politics and progressive politics in Pittsburgh. So if you actually follow what was happening in Pittsburgh last night, it's a very different story than what we're seeing that's happening here in Bucks County. And that has a lot to do with the kind of the strength of DSA, local organizing and coalitions that are there. Pittsburgh just elected, of course, its first Black mayor. And Ed Gainey, who got a lot of support from Summer Lee, Sarah Enrado, and the progressive community out there. So we got some folks to be talking to going forward. I want to thank you all for joining in once again. And thanks to everybody who's here today or with the sound of my voice for all the work that you did in organizing for this election. I mean, this community, I know it's tough to take the blow. It's tough to take the loss. But this community is freaking amazing. And the energy and the vision and, just the kind of the goodness of people trying to do the right thing by the community is so freaking encouraging. I want to thank everybody out there. So cool. Yeah. So,
I just want to just echo those sentiments. I mean, the folks were just like a real inspiration. Like, we had amazing candidates and like amazing people kind of like supporting them. And, you know, and the one thing we can do is just kind of like build on that and just kind of like build more infrastructure and then just kind of come together to work on, you know, where we want to moving forward and best practices to accomplish that. So I just want to thank, progressive and democratic Bucks County community as well.
100%. And I want to make one comment too. This is just W. Jones kicked in the chat, said half the teachers support the GOP, you know. I hear that, right? And I know that is part of the struggle. And this is what we've heard from representatives of the PSEA. There's different models of unionism, though, right? Models of unionism that basically say, okay, we have to kind of like, have a position that is somehow kind of some conglomeration of all the kind of the members coming up. Or we have an activist group within the union, right? A social movement unionism that is working within the union to make a case for equity, diversity, inclusion, justice, right? And that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. That's building that caucus inside the union, right? And I think that is the only thing that is going to get PSEA to change its tone when it comes to actually supporting people like Brian Fitzpatrick and staying out of these school board races. That's the kind of thing I think I have. The teachers organized below, unionized teachers who are progressive within their union can have a disproportionate impact when they're doing it collectively and they're doing it internally with their union too as well. But we'll have more about that in the weeks to come. So listen, everybody, I know we went long today, but a lot to talk about. Want to thank everybody for tuning in. I'm very, very thrilled to be part of this community and here with all of you. But until next week, we'll be back. I hope you'll join us this coming Monday for Kirsten Zolfo and the following one for Laura Putnam. And of course, you can always tune in our Friday show with Sean Kitchen for a weekly politics roundup. This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. We're out of here. See ya! I'll fly.